sound set.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of the Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
The U.S. dollar rallies above 100. S&P, though, down for the third straight week. And clues for watching what's happening with earnings before they come out. All this and much more on episode number 404 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Hey, that's some more upbeat music, isn't it? This is Andrew Horowitz. Welcome to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. And, I got to tell you, I had quite the birthday celebration over the weekend. Had a lot of friends, family. You can hear I'm a little hoarse. I got to tell you, got kind of crazy at the party. Had it at my house, the new house we have on the water there. Little canal backdrop with lighting all around. Had a band. Actually, my next door neighbor is in a band. So I brought him over, 60s and 70s classic rock. And they got me on the drums. Now, mind you, I've never really played the drums. When I say never really, I never played the drums. Yeah, I tap a little bit, do a little air drumming for rock groups when I'm at their concerts maybe, or, you know. But they got me on the drums, and they said I was good. Now, I haven't seen the playback. I haven't seen the video. And let's just say that it was post several different flavor Jell-O shots that we had made for the party. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, it was a great time, and I'm on my way to being 50 next week, and it gives you a nice perspective when you have the whole family around, friends, to look back and see what's going on. Hopefully, you had the opportunity to do a lot of celebrations like that in the past and in the future, but it was a beautiful evening down here in Fort Lauderdale. Day today is absolutely magnificent. I was worried for a few weeks that there was going to be rain, as a matter of fact, because I kept looking at the anticipation of what is going to be the weather forecast. And I realized that economists and weathermen, weather persons, have pretty much the same schooling, it seems. They have the ability to do a great projection of what's going to be. They're even better looking backwards, of course. But they manage to really tighten up their estimates, in the case of weather, their outlook, just beforehand. So they're never really that wrong. There's a few times that, remember this year, there was the snow of a lifetime. We were going to see this incredible once in a 400 or 500 year snowstorm that hit the upper north, the eastern area where New York and Boston, New Jersey, and it never really came out. These guys were so wrong. They closed down New York. They closed down the subways. Right? Remember this? Well, they were wrong. Well, meanwhile, same thing happens when it comes to economists as well. We're seeing that we are at a 4-year low on the Citibank economic surprise indicator. And I look at that, and I mention this quite often. I think it's a really important thing to look at, because when you look at the estimates and how they are coming in terms of, let's say, unemployment or factory orders or manufacturing or CPI, we look at this and we say, okay, well, what were the expectations out there? And really, if you think about it, when you think about expectations for the future, that's what markets ride on. Markets are looking at what are the expectations for the future of earnings, of what the economy is going to bring, the value of the dollar, all the things that go into revenue, everything that goes into sales, everything that goes into consumer comfort. What is all that? How does it add up? And what do we think the future is going to look like? Now what we're looking at is analyst expectations in terms of economics being way too high, coming in just much too high, and disappointments on a regular basis. So the slope of the line I mean, almost truly, besides employment, almost every single economic number has missed recently. Some by a wide margin, some by a small margin. But generally speaking, they are falling. Now, markets had not been really too concerned about this over the last month or so. But over the last couple of weeks, with the dollar rising, dollar moved past 100. Now, the dollar index is a culmination of several different currencies weighted. You got the euro, the yen, a few others in there that are looking at an index of the dollar compared to these others. Now, this is up. This particular index, the dollar, is up 25% since last July. 25%. Now, if you look at other countries, what are they doing? Europe is clearly in a easing program for the idea that they need to make sure the euro is lower. It helps their exports. It allows them to get out of this, potentially get out of this deflationary mode. You look at what's happening in Japan, dropping the value of the yen by their own quantitative easing, by their own stimulus. You look at what's happening in China, same thing. Countries all over the world are dropping rates, enacting stimulus, and doing whatever they can because they know it's very important, not only for their economy, but for their markets to have a lower value of their currency. Now, eventually, this doesn't lead to anything good. But in the short term, it does allow for those countries to show a much better potential opportunity because what happens is that their goods are much cheaper. All right, we know that. But let's look at what's happening here in the U.S. A 25% increase that's pretty much being just sloughed off. That doesn't matter that much. But we heard from CEOs throughout the last quarter that this is very important. They're seeing major headwinds that they're going to be showing lower earnings due to the fact that the dollar has been rising. Now, this was really, we saw a lot of this, I would say, about a month and a half ago. Now, a month and a half ago, at that time, the dollar was 6 or 7% lower than where it is today. Now, 6% in the scale of the full 25% move may not seem like a lot. But really, there was a lot of complaints, a lot of concerns by these companies and CEOs that at that level, at the level they saw, and not only that, probably even a little bit lower level of the dollar was going to really impede their earnings moving forward. A lot thought it was going to be a temporary phenomena, but we saw that this is not so. As a matter of fact, there has been some comment over the weekend that the euro has been dropping faster than the ECB anticipated. In other words, the velocity of the move has really, I mean, it has really moved. We're talking about, it's clipped the 105 level right now, the euro. So the dollar index moving as fast as it has in a vertical nature. I'll put a chart, as a matter of fact, on the show notes for this episode. I'll put two charts. I'll put the S&P 500 and I'll put the dollar. I'll try to overlay them and put them on top of each other so you can see on one axis, which is the S&P 500, how it looks. There is a good correlation recently on how that is moving, but there wasn't for some time, thinking that, well, maybe that's not a big deal. Maybe all we're going to see is this level and it's not really going to hurt earnings. Now, again, we talked about over the last two or three episodes how the analysts are expecting a much lower earnings. Now, these are analysts who are usually pretty, I would say, positive. They usually paint a pretty rosy picture. That's their job in one way. In another way, it's obviously to nail what actual earnings are going to be. But also, don't forget, they work with companies on a very tight basis, looking at what the numbers are going to be, and then companies play the game of beating it by a penny or so. That's the game. So who knows if companies are sandbagging a bit. They're saying, hey, you know what? We really think things are bad. And, well, company A is, you know, we're really going to have a 2-cent earnings next quarter. And they come in 3. So analysts are adjusting all the numbers. And they're coming, you know, they're saying, okay, you know, we expect 2 cents or so. But, you know, I do wonder if we're seeing such a slope of the economic surprise index to the downside, if, in fact, we're going to see the same with earnings coming out. Well, I think that what we are seeing is the realization that this dollar, is no longer in just a very temporary move. If, in fact, we get just back to where we were a month and a half ago, about 6% lower from here, call it 94 on the index, we still have major headwinds that didn't go away from the last time where CEOs were guiding and providing us any kind of insight that they did. And that's a big concern right now. So the S&P down 3 weeks. Looks like there was a chance for the S&P to be up actually this week. There was a big rotation back in on Thursday. The dollar did come in ever so slightly. But then that move on Friday again. And that was with PPI actually coming in very soft. Now, if you scrape out the effects of energy and some other areas that maybe temporary, or at least maybe not so bad for the economy, and just look at some of the core numbers, it wasn't a major PPI number in terms of the producer price index, which is the unfinished goods, the wholesale numbers. We'll see what happens with CPI next week. One of the things that you have to understand is that we also have a Fed release next week. The big question is, are they going to take out that word patient? Everybody's expecting that the Fed will continue to move forward with their rate increase sometime this summer, maybe even just a slight rate increase, just to show the market that they're serious. But if they do so and they continue on this tact and the ECB continues to do what they're doing and Japan continues to do what they're doing, are we going to see a much higher dollar? If so, I think the Fed is very concerned about that. Because I don't think there's anything that will prevent the ECB from trying to absolutely just debase their currency. And that, I think they're getting a little bit carried away. I think really what's happening there is it's a combination of the ECB doing their quantitative easing, but also the reality that there's a lot of trouble within that area in terms of their economy, which is just very soft. Some numbers have come out a lot better recently. As a matter of fact, if you look at the European Economic Surprise Index, or the indicator, what you notice is that it looks much different than we're seeing here. Economists were much too negative on what was happening over there, and now what you're seeing is that the economics that are coming in, due to the fact that there is such a significant move lower in the euro and the stimulus that has recently started, that things are turning around just slightly. But that slight move, that slight tick up, is going against what the economists had anticipated, and therefore what we're seeing is the economic surprise indicator is much higher. Quite a bit different than what we're seeing here in the U.S. So all the excitement and all the anticipation that things would just be well here in the U.S. is fading pretty fast due to the fact that the ECB is winning at this race. Or maybe the Fed is losing, depending on how you want to look at it. Same result. But the Fed, by actually moving ahead with a increase in rates, at least from the anticipation, what everybody's seeing here, even though it's all data dependent, the jobs numbers are really key to this. And at a 5.5% unemployment rate, putting on 240,000 on average new hires on a monthly basis, there's something going on there that they are probably going to want to slow down. Now, I'll tell you one thing that I would venture to say, that in this particular, I think it's on Wednesday, this particular guidance that the Fed's going to put out, I would think that there's a very strong possibility that while they may remove the patience word that they just put in there, so the patience doesn't seem to be that patient if they do take it out. But again, I leave a little bit of room into the fact they may leave the word in, which is a very important word. All these little bitty words where the Fed says it can move markets dramatically. I do think they're going to talk about, at least touch on, the strength of the dollar and their concern about that. Especially if we're seeing that the ECB is commenting how they think that there has been a move much more pronounced than they had anticipated. And that being the case, if they're going to combine both of those, you may see a reversal of the dollar, and therefore you may see a recovery rally off of this 100-day moving average that we're seeing a support at, or somewhat supported, for the S&P 500. The 150-day moving average is the one that we're watching right now, because that one is the one that we've seen prior support bouncing off of that. We're already down below the 50-day moving average. But the probability is, if things stay on tack and on trend to what we're seeing right now, the next level of support, really, from a moving average standpoint, is the 200-day moving average. So keep an eye on the 200-day moving average, the 100-day, and the 150. So if you have an ability to chart this and put these moving averages on, or go to stockcharts.com, Yahoo, Google, wherever you go for finance and charts, put the S&P 500 on a chart, put your 100-day moving average, 150, and 200. Those are the levels that you want to watch. Those are the important things that are going to be really playing out moving into the future. We have a big week of economics coming up. On Monday, we have the Empire Manufacturing coming out, which is an important area. I like the Philly Fed more, but the Empire Manufacturing is coming out on Monday. Estimates are for about a 9. Prior was a 7.8. Industrial production we have coming out as well, looking at a 0. Industrial production has been lagging a bit of late and slowing down, as has been capacity utilization, but still in the 79 range for capacity utilization. Builder sentiment through the NAHB Housing Market Index is also Monday. Tuesday, we have building permits. I think that's going to be important. And housing starts in the morning prior to the market open. And Wednesday is the FOMC rate decision in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. Before that, we'll see crude inventories, crude getting just slammed again. Big concern that there is so much oil out there right now and no place to actually store it, that the government in the U.S. here is saying, hey, you know what, maybe we'll buy some. Maybe we'll store it and keep it in the strategic reserve. This came out on Friday, and this, on one hand, was, I think, initially looked at as, that's something interesting. Maybe there's an incremental buyer in the market that will actually help to prop up prices. And then things start to roll over again with the realization that, maybe the production is not slowing down, even though we saw another 53 rigs shut down for the week. And we're seeing the rig count drop each and every week, because obviously it's becoming too costly for many of these companies to keep on drilling and bringing up oil, and they have no place to put it. So what's happening is, with that and the fact that they realize that prices are declining, they're not inclined to continue to pump. They're just not going to do it. So we see that oil is again moving down towards the 40 level, or at least it's on that trajectory right now. We picked up a little bit of crude towards the end of the day on Friday, as we saw that big drop, looking at this as an opportunity to see if there's going to be a bounce. Now, we've been playing oil quite often back and forth, both long and short. Hold it maybe at the maximum about a day, day and a half, because when you see those bounces, they happen, and they're pretty significant when they do bounce off support, and then they just manage to break down, because really the incremental buyer there is just not anywhere to be found. There is no one that's really looking for oil to stage another breakout. And we're also seeing that the commitment of traders is showing that the major commercials are on the opposite side. In other words, they're on the bid side, they're on the sell side. So therefore, even any kind of major amount of speculative buying that goes into oil right now is not showing up in the prices. So we have that FOMC rate decision, 2 o'clock. Watch for that. Very important on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we have the initial claims and the continuing claims, of course. But then we have the Philly Fed, the one that I look for, looking at an 8 versus a 7. Looking at 8 versus a 5. Excuse me, a 5 that came out last month. And leading indicators will be coming out as well. I don't find those to be that important. But the big thing is going to be the FOMC, and I wonder, and I'm very interested to see how they're going to arrange their statement, change their statement, and make sure that they are aligned with ensuring that the dollar does not continue this kind of trajectory and this kind of massive rally move. So that's a big thing. Now, I'll just let you know that because of the fact that it's been a very long weekend, I'm going to have just a couple things to talk about today. And they want to leave you hanging and make you wonder what's going on. Where's the show? Because I do get a lot of emails. And by the way, you can send me an email, askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. One thing I wanted to talk to you about was earnings. And the earnings releases, and something that you can look for if you're following a company and you're wondering how things are going to play out and what's maybe behind the scenes before an earnings release comes out. Now, this doesn't always happen, but this is something I find very interesting that you can pick up on. Now, I'm going to talk about Shake Shack. Shake Shack is a company that we were short, small position, because you don't want to do anything ahead of earnings in a company that has an IPO that was recent. Anything can happen. But Shake Shack, you know, with 64 stores with a valuation that's just absurd in terms of their PE ratios and their potential opportunity with earning, a small amount of money, relatively speaking, and a very crowded market in terms of restaurants and the difficulty you have making money in that particular sector. But more importantly, you know, we felt that, you know, Shake Shack is a very emotional stock. It's one of those stocks that people love because they love going to the restaurant. Again, if you have it anywhere near you, you know, I heard it's pretty good. But one of the things I did notice that coming into the earnings, there was a regular bid to shares. So let's kind of scoot back a couple of weeks, look at what's happened intraday. And you notice that intraday, the stock is starting to, you know, get weak. Maybe the markets aren't doing well. Maybe, you know, there's things going on and sellers are sitting there hitting that stock throughout the morning. And all of a sudden, the stock would turn around by the end of the day and be flat, maybe down only slightly, or maybe even up considerably. Now, coming into earnings, it got even more pronounced with markets selling off pretty well. Shake Shack was maybe 3 or 4 days out from earnings, and you saw that relatively Shake Shack was very strong. You saw that coming into the day or so before, Shake Shack was up 4 or 5%. Again, markets were not particularly strong. This is again where you have a couple of days where the stock moved lower and then finished up at least positive or slightly to the negative. Nothing really selling off, and every sell-off of that stock was met with buying. A lot of buying, it seemed. By the end of the day, they turned that around pretty well. And the same exact thing happened after they released earnings. There was disappointment in their earnings on a lot of different levels. In particular, the same store sales, the comps that they talked about, which were going to be in the single digits, that's not really so spectacular for a new company that's coming out trying to open up new stores and that kind of growth orientation that you're looking for, that real supercharged growth when they just have an IPO and all this money available, opening up new stores, looking at growing their revenue, growing their earnings very dramatically. They're going to come in with, you know, same store sales that are in the single digits. Not impressive. And as a matter of fact, once earnings came out, we saw that the stock came down about 9%, 8.5%, 9%, and kept on moving lower throughout the day after the earnings were released. But meanwhile, by the end of the day that earnings were released, or the day after earnings were released, the stock was up a few percent. It took a full reversal from about down 8% to up 2% by the end of the day and closed right about there. The following day, it was up another 2% on a bad tape. Now, what's that about? One of two things could be the case. First, realize that, well, maybe somebody was really significantly looking to buy the stock at all costs, whoever it may have been, an insider, major player. Somebody was buying this stock regardless of the earnings, regardless of the outlook by management, regardless of the actual print of what their earnings and revenue came out in their report. Now, is everybody wrong? Well, obviously, if you're short the stock, you're wrong. But was everybody wrong selling the stock after that awful earnings? Or was it something else that wasn't there? I did not see anything. But I'll tell you, take the lesson from this. If you see that coming into earnings, the stock just cannot go down, or on the other hand, the stock cannot go up, this may be a clue of what's going to happen post-earnings, regardless of the actual earnings. So if you see a stock that just can't go down, they come out with a bad earnings, stock gets crushed, maybe it's an opportunity to buy that dip because there's someone out there that is looking to buy the stock regardless of what they're seeing in terms of the earnings and the outlook. And the opposite is true as well. Now, this is not in all cases, but I will tell you, if you see that kind of strength coming to earnings, be aware that something is a little strange. Just take that as a lesson when you're looking to maybe play that earnings season type of trade. for a stock? Well, we're kind of past that now. We're towards the end of earnings season, or actually the major earnings season is pretty much over at this point. Most, if not all, S&P 500 companies have already reported. Now we're just waiting on the next quarter to start opening up, and we'll see what goes from there. All right, like I said, we're going to end it really quickly. I just want to thank you for all the emails I got for wishing me well on my upcoming birthday, and I keep on hitting that, but it's 50, so I get to milk this for a little while longer. Just a few more days. By next week, it'll be over. My birthday's on Friday coming up. But thanks for all the emails. Again, ask Andrew at The Disciplined Investor. If you have any questions, we'll answer a lot of questions on next week's show. And when we get back next week, we'll have a full, you know, full hour and answer your questions, talk to some people and get some guests, get a full understanding about what the Fed's talking about, and maybe set up for the next leg of where this market is going. Until then, again, I wish you well. I thank you very much for listening. Make sure to go over to podcastawards.com and vote for The Disciplined Investor for one of the best podcasts that are out there in the business category. I thank you very much for that. And what else do I got on my list? I think that's all. Thanks for joining. See you again next week. Bye-bye.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contains forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor, regulated in various states. None of the information presented that should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.